Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Right, joining us on the line is Advocate Bangi Sik. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How are you keeping, Kosi?
Siyaphila xa sibakhonda, kunjani kune?
Hayi, Nkosi siphethanga nqaba khonjwe imbi.
Yes, man, no siyavuya, man. Otherwise, you've been good?
Yeah, I've been good. Yes, very good. No. It's been tough, but it's cheerful as at the same time.
Ah, lovely. Great to hear that.
You guys are doing well on radio, which is beautiful.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Now, we're going to be talking about the right to legal representation this afternoon. And according to Section 35 of the Constitution, every person who is arrested, detained, or accused has a right to a fair trial, which includes the right to have a legal practitioner assigned by the state and a state at the state expense. Now, you're going to be taking through the parameters of this very provision. What are the provisions here, the right to legal representation?
All right, let's go for it. Every person who is arrested has to be represented if he or she wants to be represented in a court of law in order to defend him or herself. Now, when you arrive in court and you have been arrested, the magistrate, it is now a standard practice, is required to establish from the accused whether this accused will wish to have representation by the state or would prefer to have private representation, or that accused wishes to defend himself with nobody representing them. Mm-hmm. Now, if an accused says, I want to represent myself, the matter gets postponed, or if the state is ready at that stage, the prosecution is ready, the trial can start and it can run. We call it that way. It we run a trial. And sometimes it's not a big thing. That's why an accused wishes to defend himself. But if it is something a little bit complicated, it could be a serious crime. It's maybe sometimes it could be something easy, but it has very complicated procedures and it may require terminology to be broken down to this lay person. It might be very prudent that this particular person gets representation. Now, representation by the state, you are not given this by the court. The court finds out from you whether you want to be represented. And if you do so, then there is always a legal person in court who is employed by the state. And he is working for what we refer to as Legal Aid South Africa. You are given aid so that you can then have your defense taken through and you are represented by that particular attorney. Now, there are many instances as well where the representative is an advocate. Of the fact that the matter is in the High Court and the matters are prolonged, like in this matter of Senzi Meiwa right now. So would have those guys sitting there as advocates of the High Court, but they are providing legal aid. They are paid straight by government through the legal aid, and they provide quality, good representation. And you can see, South Africa can see in this case of Senzi Meiwa that indeed there is quality representation on behalf of those five accused. You actually make a choice by yourself and you go through. Now, one day, one accused chose to represent himself in Zeerust, and it was a simple one. But on realizing that the matter is getting complicated after appearing two times, I was called that no, this accused would like to have private representation. As soon as you have private representation, you pay for yourself. Now, the people of legal aid also, they do what we call means test to just make sure that you cannot afford your own private representation. Otherwise, they take you through, you get represented. And as a result of all what I've just said, in all courts in South Africa, all magistrates' courts, there is always a legal aid attorney who is waiting to represent accused persons. That's how it works. If you are not represented properly, you take where a magistrate in this matter of Senzomi, one of the accused, said to the court, "I want to speak." And the court did not allow him to speak. And when I say the court, I mean the magistrate does not really allow you to speak, because there could be something crucial you want to tell the court. And in that instance, the accused wanted to say, "This particular representative who is in front of this court, I don't want him." The accused has the right to terminate representation any time he or she wishes to terminate representation by a legal aid attorney or by any private attorney. It is an inherent right to hire and to fire a legal representative. So, as you see in Thabo Bester's matter, he has, I think, fired now over three legal representatives, and he wants to have his matter in a particular way, to be handled in a certain way, whatever his beliefs are. The accused at this stage in South Africa has the right to can hire and to can terminate the services of a legal representative. That's what that section 35 is. Mm-hmm. And it comes from a long time practice long ago, when accused persons would walk in court, get a representative, and only discover that my legal representative is an inadequate somebody, misses so many things. And in the past, the courts realized that no. They were convicting accused persons that should never have been convicted. And it was not out of the fact that this accused person had committed a crime, or even if a crime had been committed, but maybe there was justification for it, and he was just not adequately represented, and he was sent to jail for a long time. That comes from the practice. And when the Constitution was written, it was said that we must just make this compulsory. Every person who's arrested, he or she has the right to legal representation, and that would be regarded as a fair trial at the end of that particular trial. That's what it is.
Now, is it absolute, this right?
Yes, this right is very absolute. This right is very absolute. And an accused can, for instance, say, "I am going to represent myself." And as he runs through this particular trial, maybe the second appearance, the third, fourth, fifth appearance, then he realizes, no. The things that I'm about to hear are not as I wish them to be. He will stop right there and ask the court, "I want to have representation. I don't think I am able to go through this trial alone." The court is bound. It is obliged. That's the language now I'm using here. Listen to that particular accused. It's similar to this one. It's similar to this. I'm gonna make an example with this. This example, which is a nice one.
Right.
You see, if I have a child with a woman, and the child stays there with the mother, I stay here away from the mother. The lady chooses not. She simply decides to feed and to support herself and the child. And the child goes 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and I don't make any contribution. But there comes a day when the lady says, I am tired of this. I am going to charge this man for maintenance. It's a similar situation. It's just that this one is maintenance. It's a civil matter. But once he or she changes their mind and comes to the magistrate and the man says, yeah, but I have not paid maintenance for the last 5 years. Mm. The magistrate will say, you have not. Now you shall.
Mm.
And it's a similar situation here when the accuser has been running his own defense through and through, realizes, no, man, things are falling apart, or maybe I do not understand the intricacies of law, and he stops there in the middle of the trial and says, I want to have legal representation. Mm. The magistrate will be bound to stop right there,
yeah,
and say, please help this accused to get legal representation. I was in court today, and I saw a judge telling someone who had come to represent herself as to whether she understands the intricacies of law. But the judges, fortunately, they are very simple. They do take lay people through the process, and they warn you. They warn you as well. That's what also magistrates do in criminal cases. If it's a murder or a rape case, they will warn you. Even in these hijacks and the robberies, they will warn you. If you're going to defend yourself in a case of this nature, please be aware of the following. The kind of a sentence that might come out of this if you are found guilty, it's a life sentence. I plead with you, please don't try to defend yourself. But when you insist you're defending yourself, the magistrate or the judge has no way out. They must listen to your voice. But anyway, if you change to wanting, you require that representation, there is no way a legal, a judicial officer can refuse it. And he can only say, I told you, I told you, you will need legal representation. Now look how far we've gone. You have messed up our time, but it doesn't matter. The fact that I've messed up their time doesn't matter. A legal representative will be appointed by legal aid, or you can go for a private one and the trial can go on. And if the lawyer, the attorney is not happy about certain things, processes that have happened, he or she will open them up and say, no, the accused did not understand that process. I want this particular procedure to be done this way. I'm asking and I'm pleading and I'm begging the court to allow it. At that moment, the court will also be bound to actually open up the case in that fashion. Otherwise, at the end of the trial, and it's found that a request was made for legal representation and it was not allowed, all of it is regarded as an unfair trial.
Mm-hmm.
And a decision that would be made would fail on the spot, and that would be the end of it.
Yeah. Now, Advocate, before I let you, run, I know that we've, spent quite a bit of time on this one. Does it only pertain to criminal cases, or is it also in civil cases?
Yeah. Look, it really depends what kind of a matter it is. First of all, in South Africa, we would like to have everybody to have access to law. And it is always helpful in civil matters that a person should have a legal representative. So if you come in court, you don't have a legal representative and you require one, the court will stop right there. Mm. And the court will say, please go look for one. Now, in criminal matters, there is legal aid in court. In civil matters, there may well be legal aid as well. There may well certainly be legal aid.
Mm.
It's just that legal aid will use what we call the means test on its own, that side, and then make a decision whether they do help you and or they do not help you. And if you come to court the following and the next appearance, and you say in a civil matter, I have been looking for a legal representative, I have not found one, and the legal aid has said to me the means test has failed on my part, the judge is more likely to say to you, go and get a lawyer at your own cost. And then you will have to do that. You come back again third time, you have not yet found a lawyer. The judge may not be happy with that. The judge may well say to you, look here, you are able. If ever the legal aid says you are able, there's nothing I can do. You are able. Go and get pro bono organizations to assist you. The legal aid, I mean, the legal clinics of Wits University of University of South Africa, the University of Johannesburg, they all have what we call a legal clinic. Go there, go to an organization that is called pro bono, and let them also check whether they can assist you. You really have to make means to go and get help. If you do not find help, the court will help you out. That's what it is. Because the court can say this. The court can sometimes, as we advocates sitting in court, can say, Mr. Bangisi, I ask you to please assist this particular lay person and see whether if it is possible on your part to assist this person pro bono, because there are complicated issues. And when the court appoints you as counsel, you are bound by that appointment that the court has actually imposed on you.
Yeah.
So there are all those avenues that are available, and people need to be aware. It is definitely not a given that you must die with, you know, on the, shall I say, the table of a judge without a representation. It's important for you to be represented. It's very essential.
And this is applying across the board, notwithstanding the crime that one has committed.
No, in criminal law, it's even more compulsory. It's very much, and it applies across the board. Even if you believe, there is this thing that people normally ask me, Bangisi, you are a Christian. What do you do if you believe that your client is guilty? I believe that my client is guilty when I've not even yet gone to court. How do you find your own client guilty when you have not even gone to court? So what we do, you hear the client, you make an assessment, and then you advise the client. You advise the client to plead not guilty or to plead guilty. You see, if, for instance, a person has been, his fingerprints were found, and fingerprints are that of the accused. It is a given that this accused will be found guilty by the court. You would somehow umbonise. You'll try umbonise, and you'll try and plead with him and say, look here, in this one, you have no way out. Let us not waste the time of the court, because if we waste it and then the magistrate finally finds you guilty, he's going to give you 25 years. Whereas if we plead guilty, he might just give you 10 years. That's how it is like. So when you plead guilty, that's good. And then you become remorseful. You show mitigating factors. Then the magistrate will be at ease to think about it. I remember Mkonzi, the daughter of my friend, Pastor Dr. Shongwe, in 2012, who was stabbed 32 times. And it was a very sad murder. That boy was found, and he was found already inside jail. And eventually, that boy, in my view, painful as I thought it should have been, he was not given a life sentence. I believe he was given something like 18 years in jail. And it is because he had pleaded guilty. That's what it was. He had pleaded guilty. The knife that he used on the daughter of the pastor had all the fingerprints of this particular guy. And he pleaded at that time, and he said to the court, I was under the influence of drugs. And they tested him for drugs, and eventually it was found that, yes, he had drugs. I may not be fully conversant with the case, but I know that's what it was. And he was not given a life sentence. It was, he was given less than that, you know? Yeah. So it's important to know how to handle skillfully criminal matters, even civil matters. You've got to know how skillfully to handle them, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is beautiful. This is beautiful and good to know, counsel. But now, literally in a minute, we are completely out of time.
Yeah.
There's a guy who has been known to be a rapist, a serial rapist. And everybody knows it, that he rapes and kills these women. And he's now done it to so many women that it's actually well known. Are you meaning even that guy has got a right to representation?
Every accused person has a right to legal representation.
I see.
And it does help the court to know the detail of each of the occurrences of those rape cases. It helps. And the accused, let me tell you, in these big, heinous crimes, accused persons tend to conceal information to counsel and try to conceal it even to the court. But under cross-examination, information comes out.
I see.
When it comes out, the court will then eventually have a fuller picture as to how big the crime that has been committed is. That's how it works. That's how it works.
I see. Well, Advocate, I must thank you so much for your time. Always a blessing and enlightening moments when we speak to you. Thank you so much for coming through.
God bless you, my brother.
Lovely. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.